Part 4. Part 4 consists of two tasks. You'll hear five short extracts in which people are talking about things that have recently happened to them at work. Look at task 1. For questions 21 to 25, choose from list A to H what each speaker is talking about. Now look at task 2. For questions 26 to 30, choose from the list A to H the feeling each speaker is expressing. While you listen, you must complete both tasks. You now have 45 seconds to look at part 4. Speaker 1.
So, the head of department called me in and launched into this long speech about how my messing up the arrangements for his meeting had created all sorts of trouble for him. While he was going on about it, I glanced at the bit of paper in front of him, and I saw the signature, and I realised it hadn't been me. I knew it wasn't like me anyway. I mean, I get things wrong, but only trivial things. It's going to be hilarious when he realises what a fool he's made of himself. I doubt I'll be able to keep a straight face.
Speaker 2.
Yeah, I was busy and the area manager turned up. Well, I wasn't exactly thrilled to see him. It's hardly ever good news. Anyway, he wanted me to start on some other project. I'd been warned that was coming, so I didn't have much trouble coming up with reasons for turning it down. He said I'd regret it later, but I said I didn't think so, and he left it at that. The thing is, after all these years with the firm, all I get asked to do are the things no one else fancies. It's really got me down. I joined with such high hopes and now I'm so disheartened. It's such a shame.
Speaker 3.
The ridiculous thing is, I'd always known she couldn't be trusted, but it's in my nature, I guess, to speak my mind. Still, I shouldn't have confided in her what I really thought of the job. It's just that when she asked me, it caught me unawares. It's got me into a lot of trouble now, because of course she's spread it round everyone else. I should just laugh it off, but that's easier said than done. She better not come near me for a while. The way I feel, I'd give her a piece of my mind. It infuriates me when people do that kind of thing.
Speaker 4.
Jack came to my office today. We used to get on really well till they moved him upstairs, and I hardly see him now. And he said, "Hey, there's an opening in our office now. I've fixed it so you can have it." Well, I didn't know what to say. It came right out of the blue. I mean, he's always done me favours and been kind to me, but I can't think of anything worse than working there. So I feel awful about letting him down after all he's done for me. I'm going to turn it down because it's my career, isn't it?
Speaker 5.
Well, I tried to be my usual tactful self, but he took offence. "So you can't bear to come on this trip with me?" he asked. And I said, "It's not that. It's just that I've been to so many conferences lately, I want a break from them." And he said, "But this is the most important of the lot. Don't be so stupid." If I'd reacted to that, we'd have had an enormous row, so I didn't bother. That's the sort of thing that tends to happen with him. He's either all over you, or he can't stand you. That's just the way it is. I won't let it bother me. What would be the point? There's nothing I can do about it.
Now you'll hear the recording again. Speaker 1.
So, the head of department called me in and launched into this long speech about how my messing up the arrangements for his meeting had created all sorts of trouble for him. While he was going on about it, I glanced at the bit of paper in front of him and I saw the signature. And I realised it hadn't been me. I knew it wasn't like me anyway. I mean, I get things wrong, but only trivial things. It's going to be hilarious when he realises what a fool he's made of himself. I doubt I'll be able to keep a straight face.
Speaker 2.
Yeah, I was busy and the area manager turned up. Well, I wasn't exactly thrilled to see him. It's hardly ever good news. Anyway, he wanted me to start on some other project. I'd been warned that was coming, so I didn't have much trouble coming up with reasons for turning it down. He said I'd regret it later, but I said I didn't think so, and he left it at that. The thing is, after all these years with the firm, all I get asked to do are the things no one else fancies. It's really got me down. I joined with such high hopes, and now I'm so disheartened. It's such a shame.
Speaker 3.
The ridiculous thing is, I'd always known she couldn't be trusted, but it's in my nature, I guess, to speak my mind. Still, I shouldn't have confided in her what I really thought of the job. It's just that, when she asked me, it caught me unawares. It's got me into a lot of trouble now, because, of course, she's spread it round everyone else. I should just laugh it off, but that's easier said than done. She better not come near me for a while. The way I feel, I'd give her a piece of my mind. It infuriates me when people do that kind of thing.
Speaker 4.
Jack came to my office today. We used to get on really well till they moved him upstairs, and I hardly see him now. And he said, "Hey, there's an opening in our office now. I've fixed it so you can have it." Well, I didn't know what to say. It came right out of the blue. I mean, he's always done me favours and been kind to me, but I can't think of anything worse than working there. So I feel awful about letting him down after all he's done for me. But I'm going to turn it down because it's my career, isn't it?
Speaker 5.
Well, I tried to be my usual tactful self, but he took offence. "So you can't bear to come on this trip with me?" he asked. And I said, "It's not that. It's just that I've been to so many conferences lately. I want a break from them." And he said, "But this is the most important of the lot. Don't be so stupid." If I'd reacted to that, we'd have had an enormous row, so I didn't bother. That's the sort of thing that tends to happen with him. He's either all over you or he can't stand you. That's just the way it is. I won't let it bother me. What would be the point? There's nothing I can do about it.
That's the end of part 4. There'll now be a pause of 5 minutes for you to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. Be sure to follow the numbering of all the questions. I'll remind you when there's 1 minute left so that you're sure to finish in time. That's the end of the test. Please stop now. Your supervisor will now collect all the question papers and answer sheets.